scripture is from Ephesians 4, verses 29 through 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Beyond Cain and Abel is where we are headed today. As I attempt to share with you some of the difficulty we have as Christians living in a world that does where violence is unleashed so frequently. When we think about Cain and Abel, we know that the relationship there was such that they really wanted to be rid of one another as brothers. Brotherly competition is one of those things that I think is a perennial issue. It just happens from the very first set of brothers. We kind of inherited that claim. In Scripture, it says that the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you furious and why are you downcast? If you do right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it." Well, here in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul warns against anger, slander, bitterness, those things that destroy relationships that have no place amongst brothers or sisters, no place in the Christian family, and no place in the Christian community. Notice that the Apostle Paul is very concerned about the words that people say to one another. He says, only say what is helpful for building up others according to their needs. For building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Our words are for the benefit of others. Our words shape us. Our words create a reality. A wise person once said, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. And watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Well, the reality of it is we do have a choice. We do have free will. John Wesley's Arminian look at human nature was such that there are times in our lives when we are given a choice, that we can either abide by the Spirit or we can resist and reject the Spirit. Now, a child who grows up being told that they are bad will grow up to be bad. Children will also act the way that people around them act, from words to actions to character. That's what determines our future. Sometimes our childhood experiences must be overcome for us to grow in faith, to believe in the love of God. But to think about the way we use words in terms of the body of Christ, how we speak determines how we, the church, will function. If we say we can't do something, you can be sure that we won't. This is one of the reasons that I have asked each group in our church to write goals for the next year. Our words need to match our actions. The Apostle Paul, in another letter, the letter to the Thessalonians, reminds the church, he says, never grow weary in doing what is right. We have the choice. But anger and slander and bitterness, those are the things that destroy community. The difficulty with sin is that sin has transformative powers too, but they are death-dealing rather than life-giving. Now today I'm going to show another film clip. Again, this is the last clip in our summer series on how we can engage with biblical ideas in the and using cinema. This film is based not on scripture, but it's based on a book by John Steinbeck. Remember that in the Bible, Adam was sent out of Eden, right? God placed cherubim in the east of Eden to guard the tree of knowledge. So thus, Elia Kazan created this film, East of Eden. And it is an interpretation of the Cain and Abel story of what happened after Eden. Now, the main character that you will see today, his name is Cal. Cal is a wanderer, and he is not at all like his responsible brother, Aaron. Cal and Cain, Aaron and Abel. You got that connection there? Cal learns that his mother, who he never knew, she left the family when he was a young child. His dad told him that his mother was dead. But he learns, in fact, that she is living in a nearby town, and she is the local madame in the town. And he is struggling to understand who he is, and so he goes off to meet her. Now, this movie takes place in 1917 on a family farm. There is news that war is about to break out with Germany, and Cal's father began working with the draft board during that time. This scene that you're going to watch opens with Cal, who greets his father home from a day at the recruiting office, and Cal, along with Aaron's girlfriend, Abra, has put together a surprise birthday party to celebrate his father. So he is trying to do something wonderful for his father after a hard day at work. This scene is a poignant and difficult scene of a son trying to gain his father's love. Disheveled as Cal had at the beginning, and actually Cal at the end of the movie is seen sitting quietly with his dad, taking care of his dad through an illness. But throughout this entire film, each brother is just out for their own good, just out for to build up their own selves. The kind of behavior illuminated by this film exists still today. Anger is real, and it hurts others. Selfishness hurts others. I sometimes wonder if in the 2,000 plus years that the church has been in existence, if the world looks any better. Is it any less captivated by sin? Are we more able to love our enemies than we were 2,000 years ago? Every time anger is unleashed, the majority of those who react to the anger will do so with another angry and aggressive behavior. We see this in situations of abuse where the abused child then later becomes an abuser. East of Eden exposes the difficulty with how anger and bitterness, how sin can take hold in our lives, and how it is passed on through the generation. But here's the thing. Christ came so that we would no longer need to suffer this way. Christ came so that we could all know love, that we could all know the deep, pure, unconditional love of our Heavenly Father. But anger and depression still exist everywhere in our society. We as a church have to be aware that that is a big part of what is going on in the world around us. Did you know that depression is sometimes described as anger turned inward? See, we have Christ, but we still don't know what to do with the anger that we have inherited. And the time, I think, for us to start talking about this is now, because violence has taken over in our world. I think the shootings, again, that we have witnessed these last couple of weeks, never mind all the news that comes out, the angry words that are spewed through the political process that we are in the middle of. How can those words build up, and yet we are to believe that we are members of one another? How is the church to react with words or deeds before any further violence is unleashed? One of the best books that's written on anger is written by a Vietnamese man who is brilliant. He is a Zen monk. His name is Thich Nhat Hanh. And he draws lines between the healing power of the Holy Spirit in Christianity and the compassion of mindfulness in Buddhism. And I want to share a few of his words with you. He makes 10 points about how we are to deal with anger. And here I begin. He says that when you say something unkind, when you do something in retaliation, your anger actually increases. That you can make another person suffer, and then they try hard to say or do something back to make you suffer. And hopefully, you know, you think you're going to get some kind of relief from suffering, but instead it just escalates it. Just like our organs and our body, anger becomes a part of us. When we're angry, we have to go back and take care of ourselves. We need to take good care of our anger. Instead of just saying, no, don't get angry, get over it, we need to embrace that anger, and we need to allow ourselves to understand that anger. We also need to take care that just as we understand that anger and hate might be present in our lives, we have to understand that our capacity to love and accept and forgive is still there too. It's not one or the other. They're both there. That love is always with us. Thich Nhat Hanh says that when you are angry and when you suffer, to go back and look at that suffering, go back and look at that, go back and discern what the nature of your perceptions are. And if you're capable of removing that wrong perception, then peace and happiness will be restored in you, and you'll be able to love that person again. It says, when you get angry with someone, please don't pretend that you're not angry. Don't pretend that you don't suffer. We all have to make that confession that there is anger and there is suffering in our lives. And then we need to go to those people that we are angry with and tell them in a very calm and loving way how we're feeling. Anger, Thich Nhat Hanh says, is kind of like a crying baby, that your baby needs to be embraced. You need to take care of it. You're the mother, and so you need to take care of that anger. In a time of anger or despair, he says, even when it seems like we are overwhelmed, love is still there. And our capacity to communicate love and to forgive and to be compassionate is still there. He says, when we take good care of our anger this way, we will obtain relief. And we can look into the anger and gain a lot of insights. And it's likely that then we can break a cycle and not have the anger become a part of our future dealings with other people and other situations again. Those first brothers, Cain and Abel, were angry and they were violent. And we inherited their sin. But God in Christ came, made in the flesh, the Word made flesh, that every person would know their Heavenly Father and know our Heavenly Father's love, that forgiveness would have no end, but that forgiveness would be that constant offering of transformation, raising people to live in fullness rather than condemning one another. Through Jesus Christ, we become a new creation, no longer tied to the old way of doing things that hurt and destroy, but we become part of the full body of Christ, members of one another. And I think this is so important to share with you today, because any time we have new members, visitors walking in through that door, we have to understand that they have been hurt. And there is a lot of anger out there, and there is a lot of violence out there, and they have been rejected. And how are we going to respond? How are we, what do we have to offer them that will help break that cycle before anger and violence is unleashed again? We have Jesus Christ. We have the full love of God our Father, and we can share that with others. May God bless that effort. May God bless the efforts for our own growth as we move from this place and our faithfulness. May we be a place where people are not rejected, where people are not receiving difficulty and despair, but be a place where despair and difficulty is handled and treated. We as a church can be a place of kindness, a place of compassion against all the rejection and violence of our world. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity to know Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to be recreated in his love and in his life and to leave our old selves behind. We thank you for the way in which your light has shone in our lives during times of despair and difficulty, and ask that you help us as a church to grow, to be a light that will shine for others into their darkness and their despair. May we be those who offer your love and grace, both within our community and outside of it. Amen.